October 11, Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest. After God's silence, what? When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was, John 11, 6. Has God trusted you with a silence that is big with meaning? God's silences are his answers. Think of those days of absolute silence in the home at Bethany. Is there anything analogous to those days in your life? Can God trust you like that? Or are you still asking for a visible answer? God will give you the blessings you ask if you will not go any farther without him. But his silence is the sign that he is bringing you into a marvelous understanding of himself. Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? You will find that God has trusted you in the most intimate way possible, with an absolute silence, not of despair, but of pleasure, because he saw that you could stand the bigger revelation. If God has given you a silence, praise him. He is bringing you into the great run of his purposes. The manifestation of the anger in time is a matter of God's sovereignty. Time is nothing to God. For a while, you said, I asked God to give me bread, and he gave me a stone. He did not, and today you find he gave you the bread of life. A wonderful thing about God's silence is that the contagion of his stillness gets into you and you become perfectly confident. I know that God has heard me. His silence is the proof that he has. As long as you have the idea that God will bless you in answer to prayer, he will do it. But he will never give you the grace of silence. If Jesus Christ is bringing you into the understanding that prayer is for the glorifying of his Father, he will give you the first sign of his intimacy, silence. That's the end of Oswald's text. How true it is for believers across the world that our expectation is and maybe has been taught into us that when we ask God to do things, he should be doing them immediately. There are times when he does things immediately. There are times when he even answers no, because that's what's best for us. But we have lost the whole art of meditation and being silent before God and allowing him to be silent before us. When you pray, the next time you pray, consider the prayer you're offering to God. Is it one filled with a oneness with Jesus, who is one with the Father, asking for what Jesus himself would have asked the Father for? Or is it full of stuff you want for someone else or for yourself? Is it calling upon God to bail you out of a jam, solve your financial crisis, heal your child, or otherwise remove uncomfortable and distasteful circumstances from your path? Or is the prayer one of, Father, I want to be more intimate with you, I want to know your heart, and I want my prayers to coincide with your desire rather than my own? Silence is golden. The Proverbs say, even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, may be considered wise. Yet, in our hurried approach to Christianity and to our God, we expect the immediacy of an answer that is audible and visible. Let's reconsider everything we do, and let's go back to the understanding of the nature and the character of God. God loves us with a love that is beyond the greatest love of any human being. God loves us with a passion, and God always, only ever has our best interests at heart. So his answer to my every prayer will be the best answer I could have. It may not be the answer I would hope for, but it will be the best answer available.